You know, the Lord just showed me while I had my eyes closed and was singing. He showed me my wife looking up just like that, that she had got a new inspiration from God. I saw somebody this morning when I had my eyes closed and they come up before me. And that was, they were really considering something. They, at different times, when you're up here, you ministers know how it is. Different times in a vision of a face will come up before you and it'll show, discernment will show their spirit and the condition of their spirit and what's going on right at that time. I noticed when Sister Susan came in here one night, the Lord showed me that she had a good spirit, even though she was lost and in sin. And showed me she had been through some terrible places. But this morning on her knees, she wept her way home to God. Anybody knows it wasn't superficial. It was genuine. And she cried and wept her way home to God. Well, you say, well, she's foolish to cry before people. You're foolish not to cry. Foolish not to cry. You say, well, what happened? What happened, Brother Pike? Well, little doubt in my mind that this morning a soul broke loose from the old carcass and went into the kingdom of God and was made eternal to where it'll never perish. An eternal life for on and on and on. Through the I told Brother Floyd, we rode over to the store for a few minutes, kind of late tonight and had to hurry. But coming down the little dark road down here, we was talking, and I told him, I said, Brother Floyd, I said, you know, it just sounds too good to be true, don't it? Trouble, 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 problems, problems. And I said, to think there's a real land that we're soon going into. And I said, no more trouble, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more dying. Brother Tom won't ever worry about dying no more. Death will never be on our trail again so long as we live. Never again. It'll all be over. We'll be eternal. Brother Gilbert, be eternal from now on. Forever and forever and forever and forever to enjoy life, the beautiful trees and the brooks and streams. Eternally secure in God. Praise God. I believe in eternal security, don't you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Bob left, as I said, to go out and do a work for the Lord. He said he felt like he was leaving home. He sure did hate to leave. He said he might be back. Said, but if the Lord wanted him to do a work, he would. But he wanted it to be part of this work. He wanted to be connected with it. Brother Coon also left yesterday and said he was going over to run a meeting somewhere in Tennessee, near where Brother Bob was going to. Brother J.T. Parnell called and said he'd be down next weekend to minister some for us. And we're supposed to go down to the tent meeting, Brother John's tent meeting. I know some of them will probably be wanting to go down and be in the meeting down in Macon, Georgia. For that, I've got that map for you to run those brochures with. If there's any way you can get set up. If not, we need to make a layout and send it to the printers because I told Brother John we probably could run it. He asked for them. And I told him we probably could run it. And if we are not set up properly with the machines at this time, we need to go ahead because he's going to rely on us. He was going to run them himself, have them printed and... You know, I love to come to church. I love to come to church. But I love to see people come with a sweet spirit. I hate to see people come with an old sour, mean, contrary, resentful, gossiping, doubting, backbiting spirit. I hate to see that. And every time you come into the house of God with a spirit of rebellion, it's as a sin of witchcraft. And you have to answer to God. It just means another mark against you and another heartache down the road. Did you know that every time you come into the house of God with a bad spirit of any kind, any description, whether it's self-pity, self-righteousness, resentment, whatever it is, many hundreds of spirits, did you know that that's a mark against you? It might mean a wreck on the highway. It might mean a trip to the hospital. It might mean some sickness. Might mean a broke arm. It might be a fuss with your family, trouble with your children, but it's going to mean something. Every time, the Bible said, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap it. Every seed, he's going to reap it. So be careful what you put in the ground, my brother, sister. The Bible said, bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. Now, it's easy to forget to swear to our own hurt and change not. And I try to tell you these things not to be a lord over God's heritage, as an example unto the flock to warn you, so you won't have to go through these things. I've been through them. I know it's true. I've tried it both ways, and I know it works. And I'm trying to help you. A doctor spends his life studying medicine so that he can help you. And only a fool, if he knows he's a real doctor, only a fool will go contrary to a prescription if he's really in need of help. Now, so when we tell you something, we're telling you not just to be funny, not just to be a lord over you, not to be... The doctor doesn't tell you that to be smart. He just tells you like he means it because he knows it's true. And I've heard doctors, people would say things back to them. I have myself in time past. They tell you in just a few minutes, it's no joke. If you want to be a fool and die, that's your business. My business is to tell you what you need to do. That's the way it is with God. He tells you. The Bible said you can warn the fool, but he'll go right on till the dart strikes through his liver. If a man told me a bridge was out and I was heading that direction, I'd slow down. I'd find out what was going on. So if you listen at me, I can help you. If you don't listen at me, I can't do nothing for you. I can't do nothing for you. So when you come into the church, before you ever come in, check your heart. I love a real spirit of worship. I love for people, like Brother Tommy was standing there a few minutes ago and tears in his eyes, worshiping God. You know, ain't that something? In the day of the judgment, Brother Tom will stand there and tears was in his eyes while he was worshiping. Somebody else had an old bad spirit. We're going to answer, folks. Some of us that thinks we've got problems to complain about, we'll have to stand there beside men like Job. Some of us that thinks we're great ministers will have to stand there with men like Peter and Paul. It's something to think about. You know, folks, when we're singing, I think maybe some of us get the wrong understanding of singing. But you sing to glorify God. Your singing is to glorify God. All the ladies and the men, be careful on the ramps. We'll have a little handrail maybe before long for this. But we're not just singing a song. A lot of times folks just sing, you know, like they sing a song and they say, well, we're through with that one, we'll sing another song. We're through with that one, we'll sing another song. But that's not the idea of singing songs. These songs were written that we might enter into a spirit of praise, a spirit of worship. You know, some people really and truly, they pray so little and read their Bible so little and think on God so little until when they come to church, they have a hypocritical feeling, a superficial feeling. And that's why they don't enter into the service. They have a superficial feeling. They know that they're hypocritical. And they know that it's superficial, that they're not really concerned, and they're not really praising God. And that's why they don't enter into the Spirit. That's why God doesn't bless us. But folks, we're going to have to get past that. We're going to have to get past that. When a man hasn't eaten anything for about 4 or 5 days, he begins to get serious about the old rugged cross. When he sings it, it comes out different altogether. When he prays for a few hours on his knees and he sings, oh, how I love Jesus, it sounds altogether different. There's a real seriousness, a real sincerity, a real depth of worship. I wonder if we plan to do anything about it. Let's sing a little chorus, Brother Taylor. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You know, like when we sing that little chorus, reach out and touch the Lord. Some people are so carnally minded, they never know the Lord's even in the building. They don't expect to touch Him because they're not spiritual enough to even know He's in the building. But the Holy Spirit is moving. Moving. All the time moving. You say, well, I don't know whether He's here or not, Brother Pike. But the Bible said if two comes in His name, said, I'll be there. I believe we got as many as two in His name tonight. I believe we got as many as two in His name tonight. That means that He's here. And if He's here, this is the grandest place in all the world right now. That's right. This is the central location of all the universe. If He's here, that means the angels are concerned about it. Peter, James, John, Paul, all are concerned about it because He's here. Better than the president being here. And I believe He's here because He promised He'd be here. And I believe He's here with all of my heart. So when we sing, reach out and touch the Lord, I know some of you, I know your spirits. You're not hiding. You know, there's one thing about the devil. He thinks he's hid. It's right comical, really. Sometimes some of the young people come around and they think they got the devil so well hid. And I'm standing there looking at him all the time. And some of the ladies come around and I see him in service and they think that they've got him so well hid. But I see him just like he was sitting up on top of your head. Sometimes the men the same way. Satan, you're not hid. You're not hid. You know you're not hid. But what you going to do about it, folks? You're not dealing with Brother Pike. You're dealing with God. You're dealing with God. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Ananias and Sapphira didn't believe it either. They said, oh, it's just Peter. Tell him something, Ananias. It's all right. It's just Peter. No, Peter says, no, it's the Holy Ghost. You lied to God. You did it to the least of them. You lied to God. You're dealing with God, folks. You better get serious about this thing. Somebody said, well, the years went by and nothing ain't happened yet. Yeah, there's a lot of things happen. You just didn't notice it too much. Just kind of light repercussions. That's a warning before the storm hits. See the wind blowing a little bit and rustling the treetops? It means get your windows down. Get everything ready because the storm's on its way. And just a little warning. Oh, you say, well, it won't bother me, but it will. When it hit, it'll hit like a ton of bricks. You'd give 10,000 worlds if you could just call back 1 minute and change the picture. But there's no way to call it back. How many times have I told you this? But you can't escape it. The Bible said if you live right, these things will come all around you but won't come nigh your dwelling. Think on it. It's worth consideration, folks. It's worth consideration. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for just a few minutes of prayer. You know, I don't like to come to church with form and ritualistic practices. I love to come to church to see the Spirit move. I love to come to church to see something happen. I love to come to church to where we can let God have His way, not go through a ritualistic thing night after night. But I love to gather together to give Him a chance to speak, Him a chance to move. How many of you are doing what the Bible commanded you to do? Why have you got your heads bowed? I want to reason with you just a little bit. How many of you are doing what the Bible tells you to do? You come to church day after day. But are you growing any better? Are you growing any bigger? Are you growing in the grace and the knowledge? Are you trying to learn? Are you pressing your way in? Are you seeking that you might find? Are you hungry and thirsty that you might feed? Are you growing into the fullness and stature of Jesus Christ? Are you? Are you? Folks, listen. The Bible said covet a gift. Have you ever coveted a gift? Have you ever really asked God to give you a gift? Have you ever even felt like you wanted a gift? Have you ever asked for a gift or thought of a gift or wanted a gift? Have you ever done that? The Bible said covet a gift. Seek and ye shall find. Somebody said, God, don't use me. I don't have any gifts. Have you ever asked? The Bible said everyone that asketh receiveth. Have you ever asked for a gift? Some of you young girls and young boys, not closing your eyes when I ask you, you're going to reap it. As sure as I live, you can look right straight at Brother Pocket. Don't embarrass me. Sometimes I might call your name and rebuke you openly if you don't take to listening to me. But it's bad business not to obey them that have the rule over you through the Spirit. Reverence my sanctuary. Folks, ask the Lord to use you. Ask Him to give you a gift. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to do something for you. Ask Him. God wants to do something for you. All trouble comes from not serving Christ. All heartaches come from not obeying the Lord. All heartaches. Tension builds up, nerves builds up, bitterness builds up, hatred and envy and malice. All these are evil spirits. We come to church not just to be preached to, but to learn about demons, to learn about devils, and to learn about the Holy Spirit, and learn how to perfect our lives and clean our vessels and possess our vessels in honor and sanctification for the Master, that we might be meet for the Master's use. And that He might use us. That's why we come to the house of the Lord. I know in the past I've talked a little different to you because all of you was little babes. Needed to grow. Needed to learn. But now we're getting big enough that we ought to have some fruits in our lives. We've been listening long enough we ought to have some gifts in our lives. We've been together long enough that we ought to know something now. And be used for God, folks. Don't you ever want to be used? Don't you ever want to give? Are you going to be contented all your life just to eat and drink and sleep? Get up and eat and drink and sleep. Get up and eat and drink and sleep. My, don't you ever get wore out with that kind of living? No wonder people blow their brains out. No wonder they commit suicide. All they ever do, spend a lifetime of going to the store and buying and eating and drinking. Going to the store and buying. To me, that must be a miserable, wretched way of living. No thought of tomorrow, no hope. Growing older every day, waiting to pass away. Waiting to meet God at the judgment. Never expecting to be used of God. Never expecting to do anything for Christ. There's another world that we can enter into. Another dimension that we can enter into with Christ in heavenly places to see what's going on in heaven. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and things begin to take place. When we enter into a frame of worship, a mind of worship, we enter into submission, and each spirit is subject one to another, and each spirit is subject to the ministry or Christ within the minister. And we're all in one mind, in one accord. Then the Holy Spirit can move if we keep the condemnation out of our heart. If we don't do the things through the day that cause condemnation. Don't you see what the devil's doing? He tries to rob you. He causes you to do something through the day that'll bring condemnation. He causes you to err. Or to neglect something for Christ. To bring condemnation to close the door of faith, to keep the Holy Spirit from being able to use you. You've got the Holy Spirit. Folks, I know there's people here that's got the Holy Spirit. I know that you have. Do you know what? That is the eternal Spirit. Did you know there's nothing eternal? Nothing eternal but Him. He's a self-existent one. He's the eternal Spirit. Think of all the precious years you've wasted. A little rouge, a little lipstick, a little form-fitting clothing, a little bit of overeating, a little bit of temper, a little bit of resentment, just a little bit of something, and a beautiful pie can spoil the whole thing. Just one hair in a pie can ruin the whole delight of it. And just think, wasted years, as the songwriter said, wasted years. Go to church, leave church, work, eat, buy, get gain, sell. Do you want to live that kind of life? I want you to examine yourselves. While the Spirit of God is moving tonight, I just felt different tonight for some reason. We ministered to you, I ministered to you, the brethren ministered to you. But friend, listen. Don't you want to be used? Where are all those precious years? Where are they? You say, well, Brother Pike, I'm planning to do something. But when are you planning to do it? When are you planning to do it, friend? Jesus is coming back. Let's do whatever we can. That's why we built the building. That's why we're trying to send the gospel around the world. That's why we've been out on the field trying to work for Jesus. The end is coming. The end is coming. What are we going to have to our record? What are we going to have to our credit? You say, well, Brother Pike, I can't go out like that. Well, you can strengthen somebody else's hand. If you're not called to go out, you can strengthen somebody else. You can labor with somebody else. You can work with somebody else. You say, well, I'd rather go out. Well, that's good if you're called to, but if you're not called to, you won't prosper, because that has to be a calling. The Bible said, let a man abide in his calling. And if you go out, you can't prosper. You've got to stay with your calling. Going out and in, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Stevens was a man full of the Holy Ghost, did mighty miracles right there while he served tables. He served tables. And yet he did mighty miracles, was the first martyr. The Bible said that his face shone as the face of an angel, and they could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake. Peter and James and John in their own hometown. No record where Peter ever left his own hometown, but he shook the entire world. Peter, spoken of throughout the world. A little old woman that didn't do nothing but bathe the feet of Jesus, spoken of throughout the world, because she bathed the feet of Jesus with her tears and dried his feet with her hairs of her head. Don't you want to be used? We pass over God by omitting the simple things. We bypass God. The old saying is, a lot of times you overlook an orchid while you're searching for a rose. A lot of times you'll have an orchid in your midst and you overlook it because you got your eyes on something else. Friend, Jesus is here. You don't have to go somewhere else. Running across the country, you're not going to find Jesus. Jesus is right where you are. If you've got faith, He'll be just as big where you are as anywhere else. If He isn't big where you are, He's not going to be big where you go. Because you've got to take Him with you. If you've got Him, He'll be with you wherever you are. He said, I'll keep you wherever you place your feet. Wherever you go, I'll keep you. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Jesus is right here, friend. He promised to be here. Two or three of us come in His name, He said, I'll be there. That's not just a statement. That's just not something that the preacher says over and over. That's real, genuine. That means the eternal God that created heaven and earth, that opens blind eyes, that raises the dead, the eternal God that loves and provides, that made you, the eternal God that holds the stars in his hand, the moon, the sun, that scooped out the ocean bed. He's here, the eternal God. Why don't we consecrate our lives? Why don't we dedicate our lives? Why don't we call upon the name of the Lord while he's near? The Bible said, call upon him while he's near. He's near. Jesus is near. Why not call upon him while he's near? Seek him while he can be found. Don't wait till you can't find him. Don't make your faith shipwreck. Don't spend your time in the natural. Don't live it up in the lust of the flesh. Be something for God, folks. You wasn't created to eat, to drink, to frolic, to ride around. You wasn't created just to buy and sell, get homes and houses. You was created a people of destiny to do something for God, to glorify him in these few moments down here, that you might have an eternal home, an eternal substance, an eternal happiness, an eternal existence after this feeble life that's few days and full of trouble. God wants to do something for you. He wants to help you. But we're going to have to covet a gift. I want you to think for this few minutes. I want you to think. Lord, how old am I? Lord, how old am I? Jesus, at the age of 12, was about his father's business. How old am I? Lord, why am I worrying about a boyfriend? Lord, why am I worrying about a girlfriend? Lord, you said all these things would be added. Listen, young folks, let me tell you why you got your heads bowed. You young girls that's seeking a boyfriend, you'd give 10,000 worlds if you'd never saw a boy after you're married, if you continue to do that. You're going to have trouble like you never had in your life, and the day we're living in especially. Seek the kingdom and let God add a husband to you. And then you'll really have a happiness and a home. And you boys, don't seek a girlfriend. The Bible said if you be called not having a wife, don't seek a wife. God will add that to you. Seek God and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I guarantee it. It never fails to any person. Be sincere. Do something for the Lord. Say, Lord, how old am I? God, where's all the years? Where's my years gone to? What have I done? Lord, have I been foolish? God, what have I done for you? You're not getting any younger, folks. You're not getting any younger. Remember that. The day is getting dark. And you young people, you're not going to have the years that grandmother had. Sickness and sorrow and heartaches and danger is not going to permit it. And then besides that, the coming of the Lord is at hand. There's hardly a chance for you to have it. What are you going to do? You say, but Brother Pike, I'm young. My dad lived his life. My mother lived her life. Then she got right with God. But friend, remember, your mother and daddy didn't know very much. Ignorance was over the land, and people had to live a long time just to come into the knowledge of understanding. But see, God has brought that in a different way. He's handed on down to you. You're a young lady at 14 and 15 now. You know, you understand. You're a young man. You're ready for responsibility. That means God's going to require it of you just like you would have grown up. You need to think these things over, folks. Time is slipping away. If we don't start coming to church, entering into the Spirit, coming to church, entering into a praise, coming to church, entering into a place of worship, to where God can use us as a membership of his body, he'll take the message away from us. He did it in Olive Branch. The people wanted to shout. They just wanted to have a good time. Never wanted to really let God use them, really grow in the knowledge of God, and God moved off and left them. Now it's dead, just as dead as it can be. Somebody told me not too long ago, said it's dead, Brother Pike, as dead as any place I ever seen. See, it was that way in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit left. Now the Holy Spirit's moving in America. When it leaves America, it's going to be a dead place. A dead place for beetles and bums and beatniks and rock and roll and everything else. While it's moving, let's move with it, folks. Let's move with it. I want to be part of it, don't you? Praise God. Let's sing this little chorus together. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you to help me with the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light when I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something has happened, and now I know that he touched me, and he made me whole. Praise God. I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to come to the altar tonight. Instead of preaching to you, I want everybody to come down to the altar tonight. And I want you to kneel down here at the altar with me. Folks, the judgment is close at hand. The rapture is close by. Let's don't miss it. How sad. It's so sad to think that any person in here would miss it. When I think about you, and I've learned to love you, every one of you, and appreciate you, above all your faults, above everything, every fault, friend, that you've got, above every fault, I've learned to appreciate you. And I've learned to love you. And I want to ask you, don't miss the rapture. Don't miss this message. Don't miss the translation that's taking place. My brother Junior said the other night, and again today, he said, George, he said, I had a vision. He said, in the night vision, he said, I looked. And said, I saw you translating, the way he put it, from one place to another. And he said, it really shook me up. And said, I ran up the stairs, or moved hurriedly up the stairs to get up there where you was. Said, I got to find out what this translation thing is. I've got to find out what's going on. Don't you want to be translated, folks? You don't want to die. Now think, while we're praying, just remember, every person in you, including me, every one of us, has got the sentence of death in this body and the sentence of death in our soul unless we're born again. We got to die. That means whether young or old, whether you're killed at an early age by cancer, or some disease, or whether you live to be an old man or an old woman, if Jesus tarries, you're still going to die. One day they'll roll you into a church or into a mortuary. You'll be laying in a casket. As sure as you live now, you'll lay in that casket. Every one of you, young or old, you're heading for death. folks, I don't want to die. I don't know about you, but I don't want to die. And we don't have to die. As a matter of fact, in the day that we're living in, we can pass the grave. We don't even have to die in the natural in the day we're living in. We're living in the age of translation to where we don't even have to die in the body if we're willing to lay aside our grumblings, disputes, backbiting, fault-finding. If we're willing to give our thought pattern to the Holy Spirit and let Him translate it into the thought pattern of the eternal God, of the mind of Christ, so that He can work in it. If we're willing to give it to Him without reservation of heart, we can have that eternal body and eternal life that we want so much. In a group like this, so many of you down here, from one end of the altar all the way to the other, did you know that out of this many people, do you realize that being so many people, do you realize that it's almost an impossibility to even think that some of you won't die with a disease? As sure as I live, there would be some of you that would no doubt live a short life, be killed in a wreck, or die with a disease, have a heart attack, or get killed some way, something another. It's almost a sure thing with this many people that as the days go on by, I'm always thinking about Brother Bob here with us. I've said these same things in Bob's presence at altar calls when Bob was here. I made these same statements. I'd say, folks, it's almost a sure thing some of us will go out. Some of us will meet God. And sure enough, here I am tonight saying it. And Brother Bob's gone, a young, healthy, strong man. But he was one of us. He was kneeling just like you're kneeling. He was singing. He was testifying. He was praising God. He prayed. He loved the Lord. But death claimed him, and that while he was asleep. So you see, it's almost a sure thing that some of us here will probably go to meet Christ by a wreck or by some disease or by some tragedy, some way, some sickness. But we can prolong our life if we... You say, but Brother Pike, don't you believe Brother Bob was a Christian? I definitely do. I believe he loved the Lord. But the devil got a shot at him. If we give place to the devil, he gets a shot at us. It's not the big thing. The little foxes is what spoils the vines. The little things that we carry around in our thought pattern gives the devil a chance to be with us. Anytime you carry a spirit of resentment, anytime you carry a spirit of lust, a spirit of covetousness, a spirit of hatred, a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of self-will, a spirit of indecency, a spirit of self-pity, a spirit of arrogancy, any of these things, so many multiplied things. Friend, any time you do this, you're carrying Satan with you. You're giving place to him for him to cut your life off at any time. Don't do that. Don't come into the house of the Lord unless you come in the spirit of worship. Don't never do it. Young folks or old folks, don't do it. There was a vision the other night somebody had that one of our little children here was killed. In the last 2 or 3 days, there's been a number of visions where a number of us went out to meet God. Somebody dreamed one little kid got killed, one boy. Somebody dreamed that another boy got killed, our boys I'm speaking of. Somebody dreamed another person died, and on and on and on. See, in just the last few weeks, that's warnings. God warned Joseph to get the little child and go down into Egypt to get away from Satan. God doesn't have any pleasure in death. Death is not God's friend. God hates death. You're God's creature. He don't want you to die. That's why He sends preachers to you. God's the spirit of life and health and happiness, of eternal substance, peace of mind. God sends preachers to you to get you to flee away from evil, away from death, away from the lust of the flesh that brings these things. The Bible said, abstain from fleshly lust that wars against the soul. Stay away from the fleshly lust. I know you got problems. I know you got heartaches. I know some of you are so weary in your body and so worn that you could just scream. I know that. But the Bible said, having done all to stand, stand anyway by the power of God's might. And folks, listen. You don't know but what maybe that weariness you feel is because of cancer. You don't know but what you're tired because cancer's already eaten you up, or sugar has already gotten the best of you. You don't have any idea but what that thing that tired, weary feeling you got might be some kind of leukemia or something. Like my dad. My dad didn't know anything was wrong with him, working on a job regular. I know he'd get tired. Sometimes dad would complain about cramps. But he never knew that leukemia of the bone was eating him up. He never realized that. See, it could be working on you. A lot of times we feel, well, Brother Pike, you say things to us, but ain't nothing happened to me. And you said that something was going to happen if I didn't do such. And I went on doing like I've been doing, and it ain't happened to me. But see, it might have happened to you, and you just don't know it. It might have been working on you for years from the first time a preacher ever warned you. See, it just hasn't shown up yet. It might be a slow death. Like I heard today, my son-in-law, Frank Beretta, he wants to quit smoking. I told him he ought to quit a long time ago, but it didn't faze him. But now he heard of a friend of his or somebody nearby. They examined him. They found he's eat up with cancer from smoking. Maybe the man didn't know it. Now he's all shook up. He wants to quit. You understand what I'm saying, folks? I'm trying to help you, so help me, God. I'm trying to help you. The little foxes spoil the vines. I want you to examine yourself for a few more minutes. And I want you to just ask the Lord, say, God, where is my life? Where has it gone to? If you're a young person, say, Lord, what am I going to do with my life? Just you young people, think about the elderly people that you see. And just think, Lord, I can think of sister so-and-so, and I can think of brother so-and-so. And I see all the years they've wasted, never really done anything for God. Now they're old. Lord, what am I going to do with my life? Am I going to have the same sad regrets? I've seen old people stand up and tears run down their cheeks. And they say, I'm so sorry I didn't give my life to God. I just heard Dad the other day standing in my kitchen. Mom, Dad said he just wished he'd give more years to God. Said if he just had it to go over. But folks, you can't go over it. There's no way to retrace your footsteps. If you've got any health at all, if you've got any life at all, any strength at all, do something for God while you can. Pray, fast, seek the kingdom of God. Ask him to use you. Be a testimony. Do something. Just say, Lord, I might not never be great like somebody else, but I'm going to do what little I can, and you'll be great in the sight of God. That woman that washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried his feet with the hairs of her head, she was great in the sight of God. Lord even looked at Peter and the great apostles and said, I come in here, but you never did give me water for my feet. You never did dry my feet. See, it was a great thing in the sight of God. If you can't do nothing but bathe the Lord's feet with your tears through repentance, through humility, many times when you're crying, you're bathing the feet of the Lord. If you can't do nothing but that, let it be a memorial in heaven that's waiting for you on the other side. Folks, you're going to be sorry of all those tempers that you've had. You're going to be sorry. You're going to hate yourself for it. All those little things that you said in secret. You young people, all those little things you think that didn't matter that you've done, the things that you listened to on the radio, on the television, and you read in secret chambers and in the back rooms, in these little old things that you ought not be putting into your mind, you're going to be sorry for it. You're just going to be sad one day because God saw every bit of it. It's marked up against you. You've got to reap it. down the road, it's all stored up. That's why people have trouble when they get to be grown men and women. And all of their life they'll have trouble. And they'll say, well, I don't understand. But see, all of the days of their youth they sowed. They sowed. And then now they're reaping heartaches and troubles in their families. But folks, listen. You'll hate yourself for it. The Bible said, remember you're created in the days of your youth when the evil days don't come nigh. That means in the days of your sowing. Remember your Creator while you're sowing. And you can sow the right seeds and the evil days won't come near you. Don't laugh and pass it off and say, well, I want to live my life. Because remember, you've got tomorrow to think about. You've got a little dead baby in a casket someday to think about. You've got a wife someday that might turn into a harlot because you made a pass at another man's daughter, another man's wife. Don't forget, you're going to reap it. One day down the road somewhere, somebody's going to make a pass at your wife. Somebody's going to lead her off while you're on the job. You've got to reap it, my friend. You young ladies that do those things, don't you forget, you're going to reap it. You're going to be sad someday. Don't do it. I ask you not to do it. In the name of the Lord, don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. Keep your mind clean. Keep it holy. Keep it pure. Live right. God will give you everything that you want. He doesn't rob you of anything. Food, companionship, cars, houses, anything you want. He doesn't rob you of it. He doesn't rob you of those things. I want you to think it over for a few minutes, friend. I want you to consider it for a few minutes and see if it's worthwhile. See if I told you the truth and see if it's worthwhile. The exchange is well worth what I'm telling you to do, and you'll be glad. And the judgment is close at hand. It's close. The translation's close. If you ever have in your life ever had any plans to make the translation, then get it right now, because it's at hand. I want you to stand with me. Let's sing this little chorus, I love him because he is mine. I love him because he's mine. I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus the Nazarene. Sing it again. Jesus, I love you because you're mine. Jesus, I love you because you're divine. I will love you forever, it seems. You're Jesus the Nazarene. Can we sing it just one more time? Let's sing it again. Jesus, I love you because you're mine. Jesus, I love you because you're divine. I will love you forever, it seems. Oh, you're Jesus the Nazarene. You know, have you ever thought what it'll be like? Soon now the judgment will take place. Soon we'll all go to meet God, every one of us, good and bad. We'll go to meet God. Have you ever stopped to think that here we'll stand before the Almighty God? Every one of us will stand before God. I know we don't realize it, but when you're in the house of God, you're already standing before God because judgment begins at the house of God. But someday you'll see it with your natural eyes. And there you'll stand. And just think now, Jesus, sitting over here on a throne, Jesus, the real, genuine Jesus, sitting on the throne with the nails in his hand, sitting there, the places of the thorns. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if every place that a thorn pierced, that it would shine like a ruby, like a pearl, like a diamond. And every place in his hand would be like a great big pearl. But he'll be sitting there looking at you. And when you remember that he was the one that died at Calvary, he was the one that paid the price so that you could escape death. How many of you realize that there is no way to escape death except by Calvary? Did you know tonight, a lot of times we don't evaluate things right and we don't realize the value of Calvary. But did you know that tonight, not one person here, not one person can save us. Not one person's blood can atone for us. Not one person can get us past death. Not one. Never was a way since the world began. Never could have ever been a way since the world began to get you past death. You was doomed to die, and not only to die, but to plunge headlong into hell and into an eternal cut off from God. But Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lord, the blood of Christ, atoned for your sins. He made it possible. And when you stand there and you look at him, and there he'll be, sitting on the throne, and you see him sitting there on the throne, and you suddenly realize that that's Jesus. You look at him, and he looks down at you. That's going to be something. Have you ever thought about that? When he looks right straight down at you. Now you say, Brother Pike, with all the great multitude, he'll never do it. But when he looks right straight down at you, and you're looking right straight at him, and his eyes behold you, you've never known compassion in your life. You've never seen nothing in your life like you'll see then. The love, the care. Your husband never loved you like that. Your wife, your mother, your dad, no one ever loved you like that. When he looks at you, then you'll know what love is. When he looks at you and you look back at him, then you'll know what we mean when we sing, I love him because he's mine. There'll be something personal that you've never felt in all of your life. You'll be he in him and he'll be in you. Never, never have you ever been so satisfied. Never, never. A satisfaction will go through your body. Every desire, every thought, every impulse, every intent of the heart will be forever and eternally satisfied completely. That's going to be something when he looks at you in that day. Can we sing it one more time? Let's sing it together now. Jesus, I love you because you're mine. Jesus, I love you because you're divine. I will love you forever. It seems you're my Jesus, the Nazarene. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come to the close of another service here tonight, I see these wonderful people. And Lord, as Solomon realized, I realize tonight, I'm not dealing with mere human beings. I'm not dealing with just brute beast, Lord, but I'm dealing with some sons and daughters of God. I'm dealing with gods that'll live on eternally, that can't be destroyed, that can never perish.
I'm speaking to gods tonight, kings and rulers, priests and princes tonight. I'm speaking to sons of the Most High God. And Father, I ask that this night that you'll touch their hearts, that you'll talk to them and let them know that you're not of this world, Lord, and that they're not of this world, that you've chosen them out of this world, and that they should not be concerned about the things in this world. Lord, that they should take their reasonable responsibilities to have a good name for Christ and for the kingdom, that it might be established without reproach in the earth. That in that day, you can say that we fought a good fight. We finished our course. And Father, in that day, we can say that we paid our bills. Lord, that we prayed, that we lived clean, and as you said, to live a peaceable life. God, as a testimony to help establish your kingdom in the earth without reproach. And Lord, when the kingdom comes and thy will is done on earth, as the thief said hanging on the cross, Father, remember me, hence that thou hast come into thy kingdom. And O Lord, when the kingdom is set up, Father, I trust that what I've done in my lifetime will have been the things that benefited thy kingdom and brought praise and honor to the establishing of thy kingdom, that all nations might remember their God and turn to thy kingdom through the light of the earth that you've made us to be. Help us, Lord. We trust that we be Christians, that all of our works won't be burned, but there'll be a reward at the end of the way. I ask you to heal the people, save the people, forgive the people, sanctify the people. Use them for Jesus' sake. Amen.